Good morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Give him some praise and glory. It's an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be able to be here with you all this morning. There's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all worshiping and praising his name. He is gracious. He is faithful. He is who he says he is. If I haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I am so blessed and humbled and honored to have the privilege to get to share with you this morning.
Welcome and back.
I'm blessed. Thank you so much. We are kicking off a new series today entitled He Is, and we're going to be having this series all the way up until Easter. And I think if you've been around church long enough, you could probably guess what the last sermon is going to be on Easter Sunday. Anybody want to take a guess? He is?
Risen.
He is risen indeed. That's what the Easter message is going to be on. I didn't know how to respond to that statement on my first Easter. My pappy actually said it to me. And he said, he is risen. And my response was, yep. And I wasn't wrong. I wasn't. But that was not the correct response to the statement that was given to me. And, you know, I had to ask a question. You know, what is the proper response to he is risen? I didn't know. Yep wasn't it. It wasn't. It just wasn't it. He is risen indeed is the correct response, apparently. But I had to ask the question. I went to Rachel, I was like, hey, babe, what do you say to that? And she said, he is risen indeed. So from there on out, I knew the proper response. But I had to ask the question, which leads me to my next statement, the follow-up series to our Easter series here at Bridge City Church. You guys get to plan it. You guys are now part of the preaching team. Welcome. You excited? You excited to be a part of the preaching team? You fit the requirements. You're a part now. Because a lot of you are walking with Jesus. You're followers of him, and you've accepted him, and you have some questions. If you don't have questions in your walk of faith, you're probably doing it wrong. Because you have questions. Questions arise. You know, I have a son. Lennon's 5 years old. And he has questions. And he says, Dad, I just want to know. He thinks I don't want to answer the question. So he prefaces it like, I just want to know. And it's one of my favorite things that he does. He does it to Rachel, too. By the way, babe, happy birthday. Love you very much. Today is Rachel's birthday. Love you very, very much. I'm blessed to get to celebrate today with you. Walking with you, running with you. So, hey, bud. But we're going to the galley at Bakery Square at 3 o'clock for lunch if anybody wants to come. You're more than welcome. I'm dead serious. You're all invited. You could all come. I'm really serious. You could all come. There's no reservation needed. It's right in Bakery Square. You go to your table, take a picture of the QR code, you order. There's four different restaurants in there. There's an ice cream shop. You could just get ice cream if you want. You're all invited. 3 o'clock. I'm dead serious. All right. Put the questions up. You get to ask a question. What do you want to know? Text it, QR code, ask the question. No question's a stupid question, except an unasked one. What do you want to know about Jesus, about the Bible, about this faith walk? We want to answer your questions. We want to not give our opinion, not give what we think, not give what we're just guessing. No, we want to give a biblical answer. I'm going to go behind the keyboard. I'll get out of the way. It's only on here. Ask the question. We might not get to every single question, but it's going to be amazing for us to be able to see that a lot of the questions are probably going to relate to each other. There's going to be a theme. And I'm very excited because you can now share this too for your friends outside of church. This was on our online worship experience. They can ask questions. People outside of church are going to get to ask questions because during this season, a lot of people just want to know. I just want to know who he is. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share your word today. Thank you for this season that we're in, this Easter time, where people are open to hear about you. Lord, use us during this time. Use the next 45 minutes that we have together. May we hear your word. May we hear it clearly. And then may we be doers of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, what's the goal of today? That you walk out of here knowing and having a confident understanding of who Jesus is to you personally. Not to me, not to the elders, not to the other campus pastors, not to Bridge City Church as a whole, but to you personally. Not to the person sitting next to you, but to you. And that you have a confidence about you when you walk out of this place to share that. Confidence is power. You ever hear about the power tie, a red tie? It means it's your it's a power tie. We're going to talk about confidence today. That you would have a confidence about you, that you know so much about who Jesus is to you, that when you walk out of this place, that you want to share it with people. We have 2 weeks leading up to Easter. 2 weeks to capitalize on this season where people are open to hearing about Jesus. If you understand what this season is, what is Easter to you? What is springtime to you? Is springtime just, oh, we beat winter. We only got 3 inches of snow this year. Woo! We did it. I only had to salt the driveway once in that. I didn't have to pull a snowblower out. Is that what springtime is to you? Is springtime to you? I get to buy a new pink outfit, dress the kids up in some plaid, buy some fake grass, put it in a basket, go to Five Below, buy useless stuff, put it in a basket, give it to the nieces and nephews. Is that what springtime is? Is it all about eggs with mustard and mayonnaise and a little paprika on top? Buy the smoked paprika. Do yourself a favor. But don't buy all of it because I can never find it. Save me one. No, it's a very significant time. It's about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It forces us and others to ask the question, what do I believe about Jesus? Who is he to me? Not do who do others tell me who he is. Who is he to me? Jesus wasn't afraid or concerned to ask his followers to clarify who he was to them. Matthew 16, 13 through 14. Let's read. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. And others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Now let's set the tone a little bit here. Caesarea Philippi, a non-Jewish population, Jesus was asking the question, who is he? In the middle of a non-Christian culture. Sound familiar? I should see a lot of this. Yeah, because we are living in a non-Christian culture. The tides have turned. The world around us is not very Christian. Our culture can seem against us sometimes. In the midst of a lot of different ways, a lot of things that could be against God, a lot of rival deities, Jesus wanted them to be clear, and he needs us to be clear also. There are a lot of people with ideas of who he is. There's a lot of people in the world right now that don't know and need to know. And there's a lot of us right now that just know who others say he is. And we need a personal relationship and moment with him so that we personally know how to answer. Verse 15 through 17, then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? I can only imagine at this moment, some people were like, somebody else take this one. There had to be people like kind of like shrunk back a little bit. Right? Does anybody else's imagination just sink in at this moment and think of, Not Simon Peter. He answered. He said, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You do not learn this from any human being. At some point, church, we all need to ask the simple question, who do you say that Jesus is? Not what did Pastor Nick say, not what did Pastor Larry say, what did the elders say, not what did some YouTube video say, not what did you hear. Who is Jesus to you? What did you experience when you worshiped him, when you spent time with him, when you were in his word? Simon was blessed because humans didn't teach him. No man told him. He dug in and found faith. He had a personal experience with Jesus. Peter knew the opinion of the crowd, but he had an experience. He knew Jesus. He didn't know the opinion. This is the question that we are all going to have to answer now and when we stand before him. Who is he? Not who was he, who is he? We need to be reminded. Some of us need to meet him for the first time. We need it rekindled in our lives. Who is Jesus? We're living in a world that is full of confusion, full of doubt, full of hopelessness. Could it be? I'm just asking. I just want to know. Could it be because we forgot who Jesus is? Living in a life that might be full of depression or anxiety or fear or addiction to whatever, fill in the blank. Could it be because we forgot who Jesus is? Could it be because we've never fully met him? We're just trying to listen to who everybody else tells us who he is because we never had an experience. Could it be because we're allowing for the crises in the world to dictate our view of the world? There's three things that we're constantly going to have to battle as Christians. The enemy, but we have victory over him because of what Jesus did. The world, but we're called to be in it and not of it. That's what Jesus tells us. And our flesh, but we're going to have to battle that every day until we go home to be with Jesus. If you figure out how not to, we'll write a book. Let's do it. But even Paul had to fight that. I know what is right, but I continue to do what is wrong. And he was used to write a majority of the New Testament. So, but we need to remember who Jesus is. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to cover a few points of who Jesus is. But we're starting here. We're going to unpack a few stories in the Bible today of some people who had experiences with Jesus. And it's my prayer that you may relate to this and you have an experience today. But we have to make sure that we have 3 points ready in our lives. Do you know him as Savior in your life? Savior of the world. Do you know him as gracious God? As a gracious God in your life? Do you know him as someone who has transformed your life and will transform the lives of others? If you don't know him as those three things yet, that's okay. You're in the right place. You are in the right place. We'll get you there. But if you know him as those three things, guess what? It's time to go outside of these walls and share that with others. If he is that in your life, it's time to get outside and start telling other people about it. That's not just for you. How do I know that? Not because somebody told me. Not because somebody taught me. Not because somebody said that's what you're supposed to do. Because somebody showed me. They modeled Jesus for me. And he was up here during worship. He's sitting right over there in the corner. He's the man that launched this campus, that had a vision for it. I got to stand beside him as we did it through God. Tom Rachel. ...18 years ago, I filled out a connection card. Put my home phone number on it. I had a cell phone. It was a camera phone, too. I think it was sick. It was sick. I think it might have had a color screen. It was like right before the chocolates came out, the LG chocolates. It might have been a razor at that point. I don't know. But I didn't put my cell phone number on there because I didn't want him to have it. Kept calling my house, trying to get in contact with me. I was never home because I was at work. So you know what he did? On his way home from work, he would stop at my house and knock on my door. I wasn't home. I worked 9 to 9 most days. Sold cars. There's honest car salesmen out there. Trust me, I was one of them. My dad finally got so sick of it, he said, Nick, will you please call this man back? He didn't do that because he was assigned a task. He did that because he experienced the living God and he wanted somebody else to experience that same God. What if Tom Rachel didn't know who he was? And when I say he, I mean Jesus. What if he didn't know him as a Savior and as a gracious God and as someone who transformed lives? What if he didn't want others to experience that? What if he didn't have the faith to keep on inviting, keep on investing, keep on pushing? What if? I may not be sitting here today. I don't know. He didn't do that because somebody told him to. He did that because he had an experience with Jesus and he wanted others to experience it. If you've experienced him as a Savior and you've walked in the grace of God and he's transformed your life, how dare we not give that to others? These invitations are not powerful in and of themselves. They're powerful when you get rid of them, because they're out of your hands and they're in God's at that point. Invite people to the extravaganza. Invite people to Easter Sunday. Invite people to Good Friday. You know what? The extravaganza, White Oak Park, Chestnut Pavilion. It's not at Chestnut Pavilion anymore. You know why? Because the head of Allegheny Park saw our advertisements on Facebook and all over the streets and said, it's going to be too big. You can't have it there anymore. Her faith was bigger than ours. How dare we? So guess what God did? We put signs all over the place saying Chestnut. So guess what he did last night? Had a windstorm and blew them all down. Seriously, this is the God we serve. Y'all want to advertise? So guess what y'all are going to do? You're going to take these invites. You're still going to invite people. And then we're going to post people up at Chestnut, and we're going to send them where God wanted them to be in the first place. Amen. Okay? Because God's harvest is bigger than we thought, and the head of Allegheny Parks knew it. Okay? And God sent a windstorm and got rid of all of our pretty signs last night. You got to just smile. You got to just smile. Serving God's fun. Let's keep going. He's Savior to the world. John 1, 29 through 30. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, and he existed long before me. John the Baptist. So excited when Jesus came. So excited for people to get to meet Jesus. Everybody thought John the Baptist was so great, but John the Baptist was like, look, finally, Jesus is here. John the Baptist had one job, point people to Jesus. You know, if we all went to John the Baptist's funeral, we'd probably be like, oh, I feel so sorry for John. He lived such a rough life. He never really had much. He's just Jesus' cousin. Never really amounted to much. So sad. So young. But he lived up to everything that God wanted him to do. He pointed to Jesus. Amen. Everything that he did pointed to Jesus. And he had one job. Look, Jesus. We get so excited for people to do things. Whether it's this new restaurant or this new electronic or this new recipe or fill in the blank. We get so excited for people. Look at this. Look. When's the last time we got so excited for people to look? Look, look at the, look at church. Look at what I'm experiencing. Look at connection group. Look at this change and transform life. John was so excited for people to just look at Jesus. He had one job. So many times we hear that statement and we have a negative idea of that statement. Because usually when you say, oh, you had one job, you messed up, right? I think of a great story with Sean Collins over here and myself. We were leading a missions conference. And the guest speaker was Pastor Mike Ware. He's on our accountability team. He was the keynote speaker. We told him we'd pick him up at 8 a.m. Oh, we said we'd pick him up at 9. We took him out to dinner the night before. We told him we'd pick him up at 9 a.m. He's like, oh, great. We're standing at worship at 9. And we realized that he was to go up at 9:05 to preach. And we looked at each other. We said, we had one job. Get the keynote speaker here on time. We confused the order because Pastor Mike Ware was very confident on what time he needed to be there. And we were at dinner. We were exhausted. He's like, pick me up at 9. We're like, all right, yeah, sure. So we're standing there. Matt Carmona is leading worship, and we are like, just keep it going. The Holy Spirit was moving. Just keep going. We had one job. But John the Baptist also had one job. And most of us, I want you to catch this, we have one job too. Matter of fact, all of us have one job. You want to know what it is? Anybody want to take a guess? One job. Shout it out. Anybody know? Point to Jesus. All day, every day. Never stops. Don't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. Point to Jesus records. You should get chains. Willie, make it happen. 3D print them. We should point to Jesus all day, every day. How do we do that? Not just with invites, with our lives. The joy that's coming out of your life. The joy in the midst of rough circumstances. The joy through crisis. The joy through every moment. He is the one who takes away the sins of the world. He is far greater. He existed before you. He's going to exist after you. Behold, Jesus. Church, we have one job. Our lives should point to him. Become more like him today than you were yesterday, and more like him tomorrow than you were today. Point to Jesus. Let's look forward at another story in the Bible. You ready? Let's keep going. John 4. We're going to start in verse 28 through 30. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. We're going to look at a story of how this woman encountered a gracious God. Let's go back through the first 27 verses of John 4. This woman encounters Jesus. Or let's flip that, actually. Jesus encounters this woman. She has a shady past. Let's give a synonym to shady. It's rough. It's very shady. He talks with this woman. And first of all, Jesus doing that was different. He empowered her. He valued this woman in a culture that didn't do that. She was married 5 times and she was living with a dude now. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan woman, someone that was outside of God's people. A person of contempt. But Jesus saw the person beyond all the labels and beyond all the cultural differences. And what does Jesus do? He reveals himself to her and shows her true grace. And grace empowers her and gives her power over the things that she was going through. Grace empowers us and empowers us to get over the things we're going through. Grace doesn't just give us a get out of jail free card. It empowers us to accomplish the things that God's calling us to do to move forward. Everyone in this culture shunned her, pushed her away. But Jesus showed mercy, grace, and redemption. Offered her living water instead of the water she had came for. This unnamed Samaritan woman received a life-changing revelation of Jesus that excluded many smart people. And then she became the village's spokesperson for Jesus. It's amazing because Jesus didn't confront her behavior. He didn't shun her as a person. But let's make it clear, Jesus also didn't say, "Hey, it's all okay, everything you're doing. It's all good, I'm cool with it. Keep on going. Just do you." He never said that, but he also let her know that he knew what was going down. But he still offered her redemption. Jesus displayed love and security for a place where she could confess her sin and become a believer and a follower, and then what? An ambassador. Somebody that was gonna wave the flag. Somebody that experienced him and then was going to go be an ambassador for the town. You know what I love? when somebody that's known all through White Oak or McKeesport or Glassport or Elizabeth or the surrounding area who grew up here and has a past, and then they come and experience Jesus and they're changed and transformed, and then people have to come and see. People still come and see. I can't believe Nick's a pastor. I can't believe it. I gotta go see it. My past is my greatest calling card. There are rumors about me that aren't even true, but it gets people to come to church. Hallelujah. Keep on spreading them. There's one that I got taken to school in a cop car. I don't even fit in the back seat of a cop car. I know that from experience, and they never took me to school in one. I'm just saying. But I heard that one. But guess what? I heard that one because the teacher came to church. I'm serious. Your past should not hold you back, but push the kingdom forward. Amen. Let it shout. Let them talk. But let Jesus and his redemption story speak louder. John 4:35, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. His harvest is ready, people. You know it. I know it. It's time to get to work. How do I know this? There are people dying. Not just physically. There are people dying physically. Drugs are rampant in our community. And I'm not just talking about McKeesport. People OD in Elizabeth, people OD in, they just got better drugs. I'm being serious. People OD in Mount Lebanon and Upper St. Clair, all these places. Drugs are everywhere. Drugs don't have, they don't care about money. They don't care about culture. They're everywhere. People aren't just dying physically, though. They're dying a slow, hard, spiritual death. And the harvest is ripe. And you have the answer. You have the antidote. How dare we hold it back? Because we're scared of what people are going to think. They already think you're weird. Seriously, stop worrying about what they think about you. Stop worrying. Get over the Mon Valley spirit and stop worrying about what the Joneses think about you. Any Joneses in here? I'm waiting for the day. Is there a Jones in here? Where? Listen, I am done keeping up with you. I've been waiting to meet a Jones. I know I've met you before. I never knew your last name was Jones, but I spent a majority of my life trying to keep up with you and your family, and I am done in Jesus' name. Run, tell that. Go tell your mom, your dad, go tell them all. Okay? Your auntie, your uncle, everybody. Okay? I'm taking a picture with you afterwards. We're going to put it on the website. This is the Joneses, and Pastor Nick's done. Becca, you picked a Jones and start dating. There we go. Congratulations. He's a great young man, loves Jesus. I know he is. He is. You couldn't write this. This is great. The harvest field's ripe. Let's start plowing the fields, and let's start reaping the harvest. Jesus prepared the fields. How do you think the woman would respond at the well if we asked her, who do you say Jesus is? I guarantee she would say, he's Savior, he's gracious, and he transformed my life. How do I know this? Because she went and told the town about it. Let's keep going. John 9, 6 through 7. Here we go. You can't tell me the Bible's not fun. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud all over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Think about it. Let's put ourselves in this position. Jesus spits on the ground. I'm just getting you there. We got to, some of you have rough imagination. You get there, spits on the ground. Come here, bring your eyes here, babe. Come on. Come here, come on. She's like, no, I see clearly. Right? He rubs it in. And then he goes and washes it off. Now, I have to believe that this man wasn't just being obedient to Jesus in this moment. He really just wanted to go wash it off. But Jesus looked at it as a sign of obedience that he went and washed it off, right? And then he comes back and he can see. This blind man, completely blind since birth, a beggar. Everyone in the town knew this. Everyone in the town knew him. Jesus did something that might have been looked at as offensive or harmful or appeared useless. Why is this dude spitting on the ground, making mud, rubbing it in this dude's eyes? Jesus went and found this man, blind, a beggar. The town knew him. What Jesus did required faith, but it also required action and obedience by the blind man. The man responded, went and washed himself. These religious leaders in the town went crazy about it. Bonkers. Insane, if you will. They started asking questions. Who healed you? What did he do? You sure you could see? Nuh-uh. You lying. Who healed you? Are you sure? Come on, let me see. Open up. Can you see me? So for the second time, they called in the man who had seen, been blind, and they told him, God should get the glory for this because we know this man, Jesus, is a sinner. And 25, I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replied, but I know this. I was blind, and now I can see. That's all I know. I don't know anything else. I know that I was blind, and now I can see. Church, I want you to focus on this. All of chapter 9 is about you. You may be thinking, wait a second. I can see. Nope. We were all once blind. Some of us right now, you're still blind. And Jesus wants to spit in the mud and rub it all over your eyes so that you can see now. And some of you are really stubborn, and we may need to go in the back alley. And I'm ready for it. If you need that to really happen, we can do it.
Sign me up.
Malcolm, you could be the spitter. And you could rub it in people's eyes if you want. But your faith over the last 4 months, Malcolm, has been contagious. The way you're walking with Jesus and the way you're showing it for others has been contagious. the young man that you've grown into has been contagious. And I'm proud of you. You're helping others to see. Your great-grandmother would be proud of you. She was. But church, in times of uncertainty, you need to focus on what you know to be true. You once were blind, but now you see. You may be blind still, and you need to be able to see. It's all about your perspective. Jesus wants you to have clarity in your life. He wants your perspective to be shifted. He wants you to see differently. He wants you to see through His eyes. He wants you to see people as He sees them. He wants you to see with compassion. He wants you to walk with joy. He wants you to see with His lenses now. He doesn't want you to see through depression or through anxiety or through fear or through addiction or through your past. It's all about perspective now. Everybody else was upset because of what happened, and the blind man was ecstatic. Let people see the change in you. The blind man was healed, and then he was sent to go let others see. Church. Verse 25, again, I don't know whether he is a sinner, but I know this, I was blind, and now I see. Focus on what you know. People will debate anything and everything with you. People will debate doctrine, they will debate theology, they will debate your beliefs. But they cannot debate a changed and transformed life. They cannot debate your experience with Jesus. They cannot debate who you were and who you are now. A man with an experience of God is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. Let them see the change in you. Don't hide it. Be who you are, but let the change from who you were be louder. Don't be somebody different here than you are out there, because everybody's watching. Everybody. You know how I know this? I'm checking out at the pet store with Lennon. Aren't you a pastor? Yeah, I am. I've been to your church a few times. I had no idea. I'm at the aisle at the grocery store. Aren't you a pastor? Yeah, I am. Oh, I've been thinking about coming to your church. How did you know? I've been watching the online worship experience. Oh, that's nice. I was having a bad day. She would have never known. Her husband would have never known. Church, everybody's watching. Everybody. You want to wear a Bridge City Kids shirt while you're out to eat? You better be representing Jesus' kingdom. You want to put a Bridge City Church sticker on the back of your car? You better be driving like a Bridge City Church person. You want to have a Bridge City Church hoodie on at lunch? You better tip well. Oh, come on now. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I'm serious. You lose the right to be cranky if you want to advertise for God's kingdom. You're different. Verse 38, yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. This is the moment. Church, you may have been somebody that walked in here today. You drove your car here. You put your spectacles on. You got the sleepies out of your eyes. You might have put your contacts in. You might have 20/20 vision. You don't need corrective lenses of any kind. God bless you. You parked your car, you got out of your car, you walked in the front doors downstairs, walked through the lobby, came up the steps or rode the elevator. Were greeted in the lobby outside, came into the foyer. Walked to your seat or went into the cafe, saw the great cafe team, got coffee. Second week of iced coffee, by the way. Be careful with it, though. It's cold brew. It'll hit you. Extreme caffeine. You walked in, you saw your seat. You used your eyes, you saw your seat. You sat down, you stood to your feet, you worshiped. The whole time, seeing. To get to this moment, though, to realize that you're actually blind. Spiritually, not physically. But Jesus went to the cross for you to help those who think they see understand that they're truly blind. He just wants you to have an experience with Him. He wants you to experience Him as a Savior, to receive Him as a Savior, just as the blind man did. He wants you to experience His grace and mercy, just as the blind man did. He wants you to receive a changed and transformed life, just as the blind man did, not just so that you can just have something, but so that then you can be sent out to tell others. It's how the kingdom works. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a moment, a place where you fully received Him as Savior, as forgiver of your past and leader into your future, I want today to be your day. Jordan Rachel, let today be your birthday. March 26th, 2023, in White Oak, Pennsylvania, 3001 Jack's Run Road, 15132, or 1, depends on which post office they send it from. You don't have that day, I want it to be today for you. And we just want to pray with you. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, Pastor, that's me. Amen. I see that hand. Anyone else want today to be your day that you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, forgiver of your past, leader into your future? Father God, I thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Father God, I thank you that we're going to go outside of this place and invite people into an opportunity to experience you. To experience you as Savior. To experience you and the gracious God that you are. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing, for what you've done, and what you're going to do. Lord, I thank you for the transformation in all of our lives. And Lord, may more people experience that transformation. Lord, thank you for reminding us who you are and who we get to be because of you. Amen.